You know, sometimes we don't push through into what God has for us. When there's been a shaking in the spirit, take advantage of it. Don't sit down, oh, that was great, oh, I can't wait for the next time. No, no, when something's been moved or shifted in the spirit, then get in while the thing's open. Get in and bust through and throw off some junk and begin to live a new life. Hallelujah. We have a Holy Ghost meeting and we break through and it's all right for a couple of weeks and then we drag our feet into the next one. Hey, let's sort of bring it up a level and maintain something. And then the next time the meeting comes around, we move into it with what we maintained from the previous meeting. Go up another level. You build in the realm of the Spirit. Layer upon layer, line upon line, precept upon precept. The same way we learn in our mind by training ourselves, going over and over, laying one foundation so we can lay the next, and then we can learn the next thing. Exactly the same way in the Spirit. Well, I can pray in tongues, yabba-dabba-doo. And that's just basic little level. I can't believe it. There are still people out there. I went to a church a couple of years ago. Have you got your prayer language? Do you pray in tongues? I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. Sometimes when you're doing what you're doing in God and you go to other places in the body, you just think, whoa, I didn't realize they were still so far behind. I tell you what, if the day for fire and destiny came to die, I pray it would die. I want to hang on to something. If it was called to launch another generation and our job was done, then we just close the whole thing up. Don't try and keep something going that's finished. It's done its job. It's had its season. Now we've got a whole lot of deep denominations. They had their day. Either they didn't know how to move with the cloud, or they had a task to do and they didn't know when to close up shop when the task was done. We've got a job to do. I know it. Man, we've got to push some things in the Spirit. We've got to change the city. Stop walking around the way you walk around. Walk around as a city changer. This is our city. God has given us this city. Walk around like a city changer. Walk around like you own this place. Walk around like you're somebody in the realm of the Spirit because you are. Don't walk around taking all this junk off the devil. He'll do anything. He knows you. He studies you. Knows you intricately. Knows exactly how to get you. And you. And you. He knows how to get you. Knows how to get me. He's been trying really hard this year. I'm not a devil conscious person. I focus on the glory of God. If devils manifest, I kick them out. But I'm not focused on demons. But hang. The enemy studies us. He knows the exact weak point where he can get us. He knows it. And it'll be a little emotional area that you're unaware of. You thought was locked and buried there away. He'll orchestrate the circumstances and he'll get you. He knows how to do that. You just walk right through it. Sobbing and bleeding. Cut. Lacerated. Look, I understand. I've been bleeding this year. I don't know if anybody's even seen the trail of my blood. I could do the sob story, I could. I won't get too much into that, I can feel that I'll end up in tears. It's like that in the body of Christ, isn't it? The enemy's got us all. We're all walking around bleeding. Hey, it's reality. I'm not trying to deny it. It's reality. We can still relate to each other while we're bleeding. We can still connect with each other. It's hard to help other people out when you're hurting, when you're wounded. It's hard. I know it's hard. But with God's help, we can do it. I want to be a church that embraces people. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, and it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah was about to get taken up into heaven. Elisha was after Elijah's mantle. There are things in the spirit realm that God has for us, and there's a way to obtain them, and we don't want to miss out. I believe there are things in the realm of the spirit tonight. Ephesians 1:3, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We have to learn how to obtain these spiritual blessings. But many of these blessings are only obtainable if our eyes are open to the spirit realm. Elisha obtained the thing he was after, which was Elijah's mantle, because his eyes were open to the realm of the Spirit. That is why Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that the eyes of their spirit would be opened, so that they would know the hope of the calling and the glorious inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us. His prayer was that their eyes would be open. If your eyes are not open to the spirit realm, you're not able to see what is in the spirit realm to go after it. If you can't grab hold of something, if you can't see it, you can just stab wildly about in the dark and most likely miss it. It is time for the church to have the blinkers taken off their eyes so that they can see once again in the realm of the Spirit. We think that dreams and visions and trances and prophetic and spiritual experiences are wonderful and exciting and unusual things that happen every now and then, because that is the reality that we live with. I tell you, the Bible says that in the last days, that God will pour out His Spirit on His men servants and His maid servants, the young men and the old men. The old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions. My sons and my daughters shall prophesy. Why will they prophesy? Because their spiritual eyes are open and they're seeing things in the Spirit and they're prophesying it. When you see something in the Spirit, there's an authority upon you to begin to prophesy. And I'm tired of prophecy that was just a little word. Well, Andrea, I see you're going to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, you're really struggling lately, and God's really going to give you a breakthrough in finances. And Andrea's struggling. So, oh, God's going to give me a breakthrough in finances. Oh, that's wonderful. But there was no power and action behind that word. It was just information. What about a prophecy that begins to set things in order, that begins to call things forth and decree them and bring the person into position in the realm of the Spirit? A prophecy that has grace upon it. In other words, the words have an empowering presence to bring the reality of the word to pass. Otherwise, you have a huge book full of prophecies. And you come 10 years down the track and say, oh, look, this is where I'm going to be. I've got this big book of prophecies. Isn't it exciting? No, it's not. It's dead words on dead paper. And it should be burnt. Because there's no living, breathing fire of God on those words calling you forth into your destiny. Just forget all that trash. Rip it up. And smile. Smile while you're doing it. Say, God, this is weak. I need something strong. I need something powerful. I need something from heaven. Man, I've been through some stuff, God. Boy, if you thought your son went through some stuff, God, well, I've been through something else. No, that's not true, but we might feel like that, okay? God says, I know what you've been through. Well, God, I just want you to know what I really want you to know. I want you to know from the horse's mouth. I want you to know what I've been through, God. God says, thank you for telling me. I'd rather you told me than just sit there and get angry at me. Amen. God wants to hear our heart. He wants to hear our heartache. We need to go to God and say, God, I've been through some rubbish. I need you to speak. Boy, do I need you to speak. I don't need some pansy little word. I don't need some little pat on the back. I don't need somebody to come and give me a shimmer and a shake. I don't need somebody just to bless me in the name of the Lord. I need something from heaven that's going to shake the hell out of my life. Because I'm tired of hell. I'm tired of poverty. I'm tired of depression. I'm tired of sickness. And I tell you, I'm tired of it. I've been doing everything I can in the natural to move beyond the pain I have in my back. It's not intense. It's getting better all the time. Praise God. I can do 5 times more than I used to be able to do. But I'm tired of it. I don't want an improvement. I want it to go away. I want it to stop until I got rid of it. Boy, Sue could tell you some stories about that. 8 months, hardly able to walk because her feet are so painful. She's just not wanting the pain to go away a little. Boy, every day she gets up, puts these ice packs on her feet, goes to physio, gets them all rubbed up and taped up. And man, she doesn't want to do that for the rest of her life, just to have some relief. Popping pills and morning, noon and night. Who can relate to that? I've been on antihistamines for years, anti-inflammatories for years. I decided I've had enough. And I went and got some fish oil instead. So if I'm going to do this, I'm just going to do it the natural way. Hallelujah. I have started, haven't I? That's right. What are you talking about? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I tell you, if the prophecy comes out of heaven, you'll know it. Doesn't mean the person's yelling and screaming necessarily. They could be talking just like this, but it has a strength behind it. It causes you to gird up your loins. It strengthens you to run. It sparks hope. It gives vision. It's a key to revelation that unlocks something for you. You ever get tired of these people? Oh, I'm just seeing such and such. Oh, I don't know what that means. Oh, I'm just seeing a horseshoe. Does that mean anything to you? I don't know what that horseshoe means. A horseshoe. What does a horseshoe mean? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. What does this horseshoe mean? Well, I mean, if it was a horseshoe and it was like, oh, yeah, wow, my horse just died yesterday. Oh, God, you love me. Well, that's great. But, I mean, we're trying to think, what does the horseshoe mean? Oh, I don't know what the horseshoe means. It doesn't do anything for us. I mean, please, I'm not discouraging you from sharing revelation. I'm just saying, are you just tired of all this level of revelation we all live on? I want something powerful. I want to go up with words and knowledge. I don't really know you, but I see that you're really having a struggle in a certain relationship and a certain child, and they're doing this, and God is going to do this. He's going to bring them back. Or, you know what I mean? And Lynn says, man, he didn't even know that. He didn't know this. He didn't know that what my child just did. Wow. I can do something with that. Amen? Things that are in the spirit realm. We think we've got the things that are in the spirit realm. We're puddling around with these little itty bitty sand toys. I'm sick of it. I'm not trying to despise or rubbish prophecy or anything. I'm just trying to just to grow up and to move into something. Let's get into some machine guns. Belting each other up the side of the head with a little plastic shovel and the sandpit. Trying to help each other get rid of their mountains, and we're digging it with a little plastic shovel. I'll come and I'll help you. The problem is, we're so mature, we spend most of our time throwing the dirt in the person's eyes while we're trying to help them dig away their mountain. I want to move in some heavyweight artillery. I want to blow the mountain up. I want to help you move into your destiny. They get digging in a little sandpit on the side of the mountain. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places, they have to be redefined. Hallelujah. Elisha discerned that something significant was about to happen. I wonder if you have discerned that something very significant is about to happen. I wonder if you've discerned that the church is about to wake up and we're in a season where we're about to lay hold of spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I wonder if you've woken up to that fact. Something is about to happen. Something very, very significant is about to happen. Elisha knew something was about to happen. He knew that Elijah was going to be taken up into heavenly places. And he was after that mantle. Hallelujah. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. And Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I will not leave you! Exclamation mark. So they went down to Bethel. Elijah very politely says, just stay here, Elisha. You'll be really blessed at Gilgal. You know, they stopped at three places. Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho. Did you know at every one of those three places there was a school of the prophets? Elisha, just stay here, you'll be really blessed. I'm about to be taken, you know. Well, he didn't say that, but Elisha already knew that. And so Elijah said, just stay here, you'll be blessed. These are spiritual people. Who's tired of hanging around with spiritual people? I want something more than just hanging around with spiritual people. It's a blessing to hang out with some prophets. It's better than hanging out with some drug addicts. That's for sure. Better than hanging out with lemon juice Christians. Sourpuss Christians. I'd rather hang out with a bunch of prophets. We think prophets are radical. Prophets have this dramatic, dynamic ministry, opens things up in the spirit. It's weird, it's out there. Hey, it's alright to hang around with some sons of the prophets. You get a whole group of them together. Well, it's pretty radical, that's alright. They sort of prophesy all through the night and they get drunk in the Holy Ghost and they do all this sort of stuff. It's quite alright to hang out with sons of prophets. pretty safe ground to be in. David hung out with the sons of the prophets. Samuel had a school of prophets. That's where David learned how to write those beautiful psalms. Hey, a school of the prophets, a place with creative expression of God's heart, with seeing things in the realm of the Spirit. Seeing things. I'm talking about obtaining things. I'm not talking about a prophet telling you what's in the realm of the Spirit. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ obtaining their spiritual inheritance, which is theirs, which is in the heavenly places, which we're called to walk with. We're not called to walk into battle with a water pistol. We're not called to walk into battle with a toy plastic shovel for the sandpit. And we're marching in to beat up this demonic army that's got this heavy artillery. They know how to take us out. They studied our whole history. They know all the emotional areas to pow, get us. Get us they will. Hey, we've got to have some heavyweight stuff. Our enemy is no bother to God. But he's powerful compared to our puny little strength. And he's got strategy beyond our ability to understand. But when we've got God's strategy, he is no match for us. Blow him sky high. Elisha would normally have obeyed Elijah because Elisha was Elijah's servant. So Elisha washed his hands and his feet and he did all of the menial tasks. You want to get an anointing? Just hang around somebody with an anointing. Doesn't matter if you're doing menial tasks. Serve. But there came a point where Elisha knew, I'm normally obedient to Elijah. I've never been disobedient to him. I respect this man of God and I have done everything I can for him. But I know today he's going to be taken and there's a much higher thing operating in my spirit today than just obedience to Elijah. I'm not going to obey him. And it wasn't rebellion. It was not rebellion. I believe Elijah was testing Elisha. Just stay here, Elisha. He's just testing him out. Elisha knew that his master was going to be taken. Spiritual blessings are to be treasured above natural relationships. Elisha could have been faithful to the relationship he had with Elijah, and it was a good relationship, but he knew that the spiritual blessing that he was after came above the natural relationship, and he was not going to let it dominate what he was called to inherit in the realm of the Spirit. I don't care whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's a business partner. I don't care if your dearly beloved grandma who's prayed for you all your life is cursing you. There comes a stage where you have to make a decision. The spiritual blessing in heavenly places has to mean more to you than your natural relationships. And the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." This is the King James. "I know." Slightly irritable. "Shut up." That's what it meant. Shut up. Do not distract me. I know he's going to be taken today. Don't tell me what I already know. You are being an irritant to me. Shut up. It's in the Bible. That's what it means. Keep silent, exclamation mark. Shut up. Evidently the King James didn't feel that they could put that in there. The sons of the prophets also knew that Elijah was going to be taken. But Elisha was focused. This is the difference. You can know that something very significant is about to happen in the realm of the Spirit, and it is. But only Elisha was focused to obtain the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In fact, Elisha appeared rude. When you tell someone to keep silent, to shut up, you appear rude. When you're focused, you appear rude. It's not rude. It's called focused. Focused people are often perceived as being very rude. There is a difference. Okay, you can be focused and rude. I'm not saying you can't be that. But you've got to understand, there are times when I am very focused. And it's hard to relate to me on the normal level when I'm like that. It's the same with you. When you're really focused on something. When Craig Marsh was here last year on the Friday night meeting, there was an incredibly powerful anointing. I believe probably the most powerful service we've had in Dunedin here. powerful, powerful. And the worship was glorious. He shared about the lounge room of heaven when he died, and God shows him some things in heaven when he was dead for 8 minutes. It was a powerful, powerful meeting, and God came. At the end of that meeting, intercession fell on me, and I was just gripped. Well, some dear lady tried to come and give me a hug. I mean, I was caught. I was gripped. Natural realm. I'm not going to pull me out of that. And I just said, go away. I mean, you know, I could have been a bit more polite than that. But, you know, when you're just like that, it's unexpected. It's a shock to you. Just go away. And she would have thought I was rude. Oh, okay. Maybe I could have said it another way. But she probably still would have been upset with me. But the reality is, I was caught. I was gripped. I was focused on this city. God was breaking my heart over this city. There's intercession on me. Amen? Sometimes you've got to value the spiritual thing in the spirit realm above the natural relationship. You don't have to be obnoxiously rude. You say, just leave me alone. I'm caught in something here. I'm going after it. Just go home. Okay, I'll walk home. I'll get a ride with someone. Don't worry, just go home. Whatever it is. You have to value that thing in the spirit realm. Amen? Where are we up to, guys? And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." He told them to shut up as well. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here." Elijah's still testing him. "Stay here, please." Elijah's being very nice. Oh, be careful. "For the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." Be careful when the prophet's being nice. And he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. You see, the mantle had authority over the natural realm. Very important that you see that. The spiritual blessings in heavenly places that God has for us are weapons, their mantles, their tools, their equipment that have authority over the natural realm. And if you let the natural realm distract you, you will miss obtaining what God has for you in the spirit. He could have let these spiritual people called prophets distract him. He could have let Elijah, the man of God, distract him by telling him just to hang around, just stay here. He was determined to obtain and to value the thing that was waiting for him right on the very brink. I promise you, when you're right on the very brink of something, the enemy will try and distract you. That is the time the battle is the most intense. It's the most ferocious. You are just about to break through into something. The attack of the enemy is always the strongest, just before you obtain something of incredible value and worth that he is terrified of you obtaining. There are spiritual clothings that if you obtain, you will absolutely terrorize the devil and his kingdom. I'm after that clothing. I want to stand up here clothed, not naked in the spirit, not full of shame and condemnation, not weak and fearful and anxious, not feeling and controlled by all of the attitudes that are coming from other people. I want to stand here with a mantle from God, clothed with a confidence and with an authority that will terrorize the devil, that will begin to draw people into the kingdom vision that he's establishing. You want that too? And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask!" Exclamation mark. "What may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." The double portion was the inheritance of the first. We think that the double portion means double what Elijah had. Now, in biblical times, the firstborn son received a double portion. In other words, the firstborn son received more than the other sons. He was called to carry on the inheritance of the father. So firstborn sons were of particular importance in that culture. So what was Elisha asking for? The double portion was the inheritance of the firstborn. The firstborn carried the heritage of the father. Elisha wanted to carry the spiritual heritage. He wanted to carry on the spiritual heritage that had started with Elijah. In other words, he wanted to be a spiritual son to Elijah. A spiritual son is not some weak-kneed wimp. This is a revelation I got right now. We talk about fathers and sons, and the father's the one with all the power. And the son just walks around and serves them all the time. Spiritual son. Spiritually castrated as well. No power. Impotent. Hey, sons are to have inheritances. The father is to pass on the spiritual inheritance. Hey, I tell you what, the fathers have days when they are to be powerful. And the sons served them like Elisha served Elijah for many years. Plenty of battery power, praise God. He served Elijah for many, many years. But there comes a day when a father is to pass his inheritance onto his son, and he must do that. It's not about elevating the spiritual father. It's about continuing the inheritance and the heritage. Why has Pentecostal church after Pentecostal church come and been raised up with an anointing authority and then died? And is a shadow of what they were when they began. Because spiritual fathers are not passing on inheritance to spiritual sons. Because spiritual sons are not being raised up and don't have a burning passion to continue on the heritage and the inheritance. An inheritance should naturally increase. Unfortunately, we have to start with nothing. Elijah started with nothing. We have to start with nothing because no spiritual father has given us anything. I've sucked any spiritual fathers I can dry. God gave me a prophecy a few years from a lady I highly respect, Jill Austin. She said that God was going to bring fathers around my life and that they were going to open their heart to me and I was to open my heart to them. I'm just beginning to see that. Just beginning. Because where you're in relationship with a father, there's strength. It doesn't mean that the father lords it over you authority-wise. It doesn't mean that the father knows more or even carries more than you in the spirit. It just means that they are a spiritual father. Fathers impart inheritance. They impart destiny. Praise God. I praise God. I can get on my computer and email Brent Douglas anytime I want. I email Craig Marsh regularly. I've got more of a relationship with Craig Marsh simply because he's come here. He's been concerned for me. He's come here not just for his own ministry. He's come here to do whatever he can for us. And that's the heart of a spiritual father. Hey, Brent Douglas can't be a spiritual father to everybody. This is what happens with controlling denominations. The big man tries to father everybody. You can't do that. How many spiritual sons and daughters can you realistically have? You can't have too many. But if you train up true spiritual sons and daughters, and you train them to be fathers and mothers in the Spirit, and to train up more, that's what Paul did. He only had a small number of people, but he poured his life into them. God will give you people like that too. You need... The church of Jesus Christ is strong because of relational connectedness. I believe in relational connectedness because it brings strength. You need to be in relational connectedness with people that are to be equally yoked with you. In other words, you're moving together, encouraging and strengthening one another. You're to be relationally connected with people with a greater authority than you. In other words, they're like the brick that's above you in the building. And so they're imparting strength and vision to you. And you've got these people that are alongside you and you're plowing together, encouraging each other. You're to be connected with people that are underneath you, like the brick underneath you in the wall, that you're discipling. Plane and you're raising up to stand in positions of authority and to be able to hold weight in the realm of the Spirit, because as the building gets higher, the foundation's got to be stronger. And that's why buildings fall down, because the big apostle at the bottom is so big after all, and the whole thing collapses. Apostles are the ones at the bottom holding the whole thing up. They're heavyweights in the Spirit. You want to be an apostle? Just look at the training. Whooped, flogged, beaten. Training ain't so hot. you know what an apostle is, you won't be volunteering for the position. The mantle had The mantle had authority over the natural realm. Almost finished here. And so it was, when they crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what can I do for you?" Elisha wanted the double portion. Verse 10, so he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Whoa, you need to let the weight of those words sink into you. If you see me when I'm taken, you'll get what you're asking for. But if you don't see me, and I'm only going to get taken once, we're not going to have a dress rehearsal, I'm only going to get taken once, if you don't see me when I'm taken, you won't have it. That's scary. Elisha, his whole life, this is what he's after. He's got one opportunity to get it. If he misses it, he's missed it. Why is this important? You will not obtain spiritual blessings in heavenly places unless you value them with your life. God is not going to put spiritual machine guns into the hands of people that are flippant and frivolous and play around and couldn't really care less about what they have. If you see me, if your eyes are open, if the eyes of your spirit are open and you see me when I am taken, then you'll have what you ask for. There are so many things in the Spirit. There are things you are asking for. There are things God anointed you to ask for that is rightfully your inheritance. But unless the eyes of your spirit are open to see it in the realm of the Spirit, you will not inherit, you will not obtain. I'm not saying that you're going to be in this situation like Elisha was, where there was one opportunity to get it and you missed out. What I am saying is that your eyes have to be open to see it in the realm of the Spirit, and you have to value it enough to obtain it. Is this helping anybody? If Elisha's spirit wasn't open at the right moment, he would miss out. That can happen. You can miss out on what God has for you today. What He has for you tomorrow is different. If your spirit's not open for what He has for you today, guess what? You miss out on what He has for you today. And what He has for you today will help you obtain even what He has for you tomorrow. Verse 12, now Elisha saw it. No, verse 11. Then it happened. It happened. Say it happened. It happened. It. It happened. What's it? As they continued on and talked, that suddenly, this is the it, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. When did it happen? It happened while they were walking along talking. You never know when it's going to happen. They're just walking along. I don't know how long they walked for. Doesn't say. They could have walked for quite some way, walking and talking, not letting you out of my sight, mate. I know something significant's about to happen. Then all of a sudden, right in the middle of normal, casual conversation, wham, this chariot appears out of nowhere. He's separated from Elijah. It's dramatic. Now Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Elisha cried out after the supernatural realm. Elisha saw the chariot of fire, the horses of fire, and the horsemen. He saw Elijah in the chariot, and he saw a whirlwind taking him up into heaven. You seen anything in the spirit lately? You seen anything that wild or that dramatic? What did he see? A chariot of fire. Horses of fire. Horsemen, I don't know, maybe they're angelic horsemen. Elijah and the whirlwind. These were all in the realm of the Spirit. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. In other words, Elijah picked up what had fallen from heaven. What we receive in the realm of the Spirit has to be taken up. Wow, I just see that you're called to be an apostle and you are going to shake nations. Oh, okay, that's good. I'm going to shake nations. Hey, guess what, everybody? I'm going to shake nations. I've got the badge. I've got the prophecy. I'm going to shake nations. I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. Yep, 10 years down the track. Hey, hi, I'm an apostle. Yep, I'm going to shake nations. 20 years down the track. Hey, I'm an apostle. Yep, believe it or not, I know I'm pretty wimpy, but I'm an apostle. God says I'm an apostle. If God says I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle. I'm going to shake a nation. Yep, I know it. I feel it in my spirit. Really just feel it in my spirit. I'm going to shake a nation one day. Yeah. Yep, I think I'll shake a nation one day. Hey, if you don't take that thing up in the spirit, you ain't going to do anything. How many things have been dropped into our spirits? How many times have our eyes been opened to see something that's right in front of us, but we haven't picked it up off the ground? Why is it that I stand with a small measure of authority that I stand with you here today? Because it is a small measure of authority. I don't have authority to shake cities or nations yet, nothing like it. I have a small measure. Why do I have a small measure of authority? Because when God spoke to me, I picked it up and I said, yes, I shall start a church in Dunedin because it is the word of the Lord. I picked up the word of the Lord. I began to wage war with it, and I promise you I did. I began to read through the Psalms every day because I had to have something to war against the rejection that was coming against me, because rejection was coming against me. This city was trying to reject me. It was a spiritual thing. I had to pick that word up and wage war with it and take action and ring up and find rooms to rent and go and talk to pastors and sort it out and work out how we were going to do it. I had to take some action. I was a bit anxious at times. I was just stupid enough to pick the word up and do something with it. Hey, some of you have had some powerful weapons thrown down in front of you. You have. Some of you have had some awesome words that have come from heaven. They're lying dormant in the spirit right at the moment. The authority of the cross brings resurrection life into what's dead. There are some things that are dead and dormant. I tell you, God is a God of the second chance. He will let you pick that thing up again. He'll resurrect that thing again. You've known the anointing. You've known the passion. You've seen it in the spirit, but it died. Pick it up again. Sometimes things die and they just got to wait for the season. And then there comes a time and you've got to pick it up again. Others of you, there's something you threw to the side and you just need to pick that thing up. Don't worry waiting for it. Pick it up. Pick it up. Do something with it. Shake somebody. Shake something. Blow something up. Slap someone around the head with that thing. It's a heavenly thing. It won't hurt them. Hallelujah. If you make a mess using your spiritual weapon, which you're learning how to use, and you make a mess, apologize, repent, go on. Restore trust with the person that you accidentally blew up, put them back together again, learn how to use the thing correctly next time, but keep using it. I remember when I rolled the car, the first thing my dad got me to do was get back in the car and drive the thing. I'd rolled the thing, the steering was all wonky, but he made me get back into it. It was like trying to drive something with a jelly for a steering wheel. It wouldn't go in any direction you told it to. My dad's a racing driver. He knows that when you crash the car, you get your son, you put him in the driver's seat, your son drive. Otherwise, you'll never drive again. For those of you that are interested, I flew onto some gravel. We lived in the country, and I didn't know they'd just graded it. Flew onto it 100 kilometres an hour, and, well, I didn't know you didn't put your foot on the brake. I know that now, when the back began to slide, and so I ended up rolling onto the side, faced the way it come. Mum was up there, I was down here. We climbed out. We were all right. Praise God. The car wasn't quite as happy. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from heaven and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Elisha was after the Lord God of Elijah. He wasn't concerned with Elijah. He wasn't concerned with the great man of God. He wasn't concerned with the big apostolic mantle. He was concerned with the Lord God of Elijah. He wanted what God had for him. And there came a time when what God had for him caused him to no longer be obedient to the word of Elijah, who was the prophet that had trained him up and fathered him in the realm of the Spirit. There came a time when he had to obtain his own spiritual inheritance, and he could not let hell or high water stop him from obtaining that, because he was in complete submission to the Lord God of Elijah. Hallelujah. The sons of the prophets had the ability to see in the spirit realm. You've got to catch this. They knew Elijah was going to get taken that day. But Elisha was seeing more than what they were seeing. Elisha was seeing more than what they were seeing. Elisha was seeing more than what they were seeing. Elisha was seeing more than the most spiritual men on the earth were seeing in that day. Elisha was seeing more than the sons of the prophets, the ones that have their eyes open to see spiritual things. Elisha was seeing more than them. You have to see more in the realm of the Spirit than anybody else sees about you. And the call that God has for you. I can't obtain for you what is yours. I know I'm called to help open the heavens. I know I'm called to help point the way. I know that there'll come times when an authority will drop on me from heaven to prophesy the call and the destiny over you, and you'll walk away different. I know that with all of my heart. I know that God will drop authority on me to impart it to you. I know that every Christian is called to carry an authority so that they can release authority in the earth wherever they go and to whomever they come in contact with. I know that. But I can't grab hold of it for you. Hallelujah. The people that will respect me the most, or anybody for that matter, are the people that will see the function of God over my life and will move beyond personal offense, because you'll have opportunity to be personally offended with me because I'm a clay vessel. Hallelujah. Elisha was seeing more than what they were seeing. Now do you see why Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of their spirit would be opened? Now do you see why we need to pray that prayer, not only for ourselves, but for the church, that the eyes of our spirit corporately would be opened and we would see and we would receive corporate equippings from the heavens. The fivefold ministry and the authority that God places on the fivefold is to release over the church so that they can obtain as one being the spiritual weapons. I can't wait for the time when the church picks up the shield of faith. Not some mighty superstar warrior healing evangelist. The church picks up the shield of faith. The whole church. Just one locality would be good. Imagine one church, just one church, picking up that shield of faith. Now visualize the corporate church in a city, picking up a shield of faith. Because the letter of Ephesians was written to the church in Ephesus. One church in Ephesus. Hallelujah. There are degrees of perception in the spirit realm. I don't want to be satisfied with what the sons of the prophets could see. Elisha could see a whole lot more. If God drops something into your spirit, are your eyes open to receive it? No matter what it is. Whether it's joy. Whether it's intercession. Whether it's a mantle, an authority to preach the word of God. Whether it's revelation. Whatever it is that's moving in the realm of the Spirit, is your heart or the eyes of your spirit open to receive it? Tonight, as we come, let's really ask ourselves that question. Are my eyes open? Are my spiritual eyes open to see what is in the spirit realm and to reach out and obtain it?